Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
Storytelling is how we relate human to human. It's been how we've related human to human since the dawn of time. It has never changed. Narrative is actually a form of reasoning. It's how we make sense of the world. It's how we remember things. So storytelling, it just impacts everything that I do and how I think about everything. But it also makes the content that I write for my clients work so much harder for them.
Today, we have an inspiring conversation lined up with Jessica Mehring, a strategic consultant for technology companies and the CEO of Horizon Peak Consulting. With her rich background in tech marketing and a strong command of storytelling, Jessica has mastered the art of humanizing tech communications. She'll share her journey from corporate life to entrepreneurship and how she balances being the breadwinner while nurturing her business and family life. Jessica will unpack the significance of generative AI in strategic communication, the transformational power of storytelling, and her evolution from working with global tech giants to empowering mid-market and enterprise-level tech firms. Dive into the tactics that have made her a sought-after content creator, converting clicks to customers with stories that resonate. If you're wondering how to put the heart back into tech marketing, foster deeper connections with your audience, or take that daring leap into entrepreneurship, this episode with Jessica Mehring is not to be missed. Let's get ready to learn how to use storytelling to captivate and convert, no matter the complexity of the tech world. Stay tuned for a wealth of insights that could redefine the way you approach content and customer engagement. Now let's welcome Jessica Mehring. Jessica is a strategic consultant for technology companies, a published author with an MA in communication. Through her graduate academic work, she has closely examined the impact of generative AI on strategic communication and is exploring how storytelling fosters empathy and can help us connect in a modern context. When she's not working to bring more humanity into tech marketing, you can find her researching the intersections of art and science, creativity and data, and communication and innovation. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So Jessica, you worked in tech marketing before you started your own business. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent the first half of my adult life working in corporate technology, first through creative agencies who outsourced me to a major global technology company. And then in a roundabout way, found my way in-house at that same technology company. So I was about 14 years of my working life was in marketing and online merchandising for a global technology company.
What prompted you to pivot and become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I never thought I was going to go the entrepreneurial route. I wasn't that kind of person, I didn't think. But the truth of the matter was, I had always been a writer. I was publishing poems in high school and articles in college. And over the years, picked up freelance copywriting projects. Writing was always my thing. It was part of my DNA. And my skills improved more and more when I was working in-house at this technology company, especially. I was learning more about copywriting and content writing and what worked and what didn't, what resonated, what didn't, what got the clicks, what didn't. And toward the end of that 14-year run, I realized there's so many ways that I could make a bigger impact for this company. There's more I could do to connect them with their target audience. There's more I felt like I could do for the audience too, because marketing is so much about having a conversation with your target audience. And I realized I would never be able to do that as an employee, especially working for such a large company. There were limitations on what I could do reasonably as an in-house employee. So I started taking on more freelance projects with permission of my employer and started thinking about, well, maybe this is something I could take the leap and do full-time someday. Kind of was starting to build up the side hustle, thinking maybe someday. And then I was working remotely for about 7 years, and the company that I was working for decided we're going to move everybody back to the office. And this was like, this was pre-Zoom. This was pre-pandemic. This was pre all of that. Working remotely was a huge perk. It was not something that people got to do most of the time. So I realized how lucky I was. But at that point, I was also now an hour away from the closest office, and I was pregnant. And I just realized I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go back to the office and drive an hour each way and be away from my new baby. That's not going to happen. And I thought maybe I had enough freelance clients to pull this off. So I talked to my husband and said, hey, I think now's the time. And I was the breadwinner at that point and still am, actually. My income has always been the primary income for our family. And, you know, my husband was prepared to be the stay-at-home parent of our child. So we were kind of already on this route anyway. He said, go for it. So I talked to my manager and I said, hey, the next time you have to do layoffs, because again, global technology company layoffs are kind of just status quo. That's global technology companies love to do layoffs. So I knew another one was around the corner. We all knew it. That was just part of working at these kinds of companies. So I said, hey, next time you're going to need to choose somebody for a layoff, I'm raising my hand. And within 6 weeks, I was laid off and doing this entrepreneur thing full time. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying because I wasn't 100% sure I had enough work coming in to warrant that risk that I just took. But I'm happy to say it worked out. I'm happy to say that my clients were waiting in the wings to give me more work and to introduce me to other clients, other companies that needed the kind of help that I was able to provide. And my company, my little, you know, one-person firm at the time, grew very quickly.
That's awesome. How long did it take before you felt like you were sustainable?
I mean, I felt sustainable within about 6 months. It happened very quickly. And I think that the freelance clients that I had, that I've been working with for a couple of years, they had a lot more work that they'd like me to do. They just knew that I couldn't take on much more with a full-time job. So once I was freed up of that full-time job, they were happy to send me more work.
That's great.
Yeah, very lucky.
How has your business evolved since then?
Over the years, I specialized a lot more. When I first left corporate tech, I thought, okay, I'm going to work with the little guys. I'm going to work with the small businesses because that just seems like it would be so much more satisfying after so many years working for this global, huge company. I'm going to work with small businesses and startups. And I went that route initially, and I very quickly realized that was a really challenging route for me. those kinds of businesses were, it was a lot harder to get new clients where I could sell my services at a reasonable rate. They were a lot more budget conscious. They were a lot more personally invested in every single word. And it was a different world from working for global tech. So I pivoted away from small businesses within about 2 years and started working on more of the mid-market and upwards of, you know, large enterprise size companies, which felt like a better fit for a lot of what I did. And I also started specializing in more of the B2B technology side, high tech, deep tech. I still work with software companies, but where a lot of copywriters had started focusing on SaaS, I focused on enterprise technology, not enterprise size necessarily, but technology that's sold into enterprise organizations. So the database management companies and the cloud technology companies and early artificial intelligence. I was working with those kinds of companies and really learning how to specialize in those super high-tech, deep-tech conversations. So, you know, I narrowed in over the years, which helped me develop a reputation for doing excellent work in that space. It also helped me to just continue to hone my skills and get better and better and better at writing content for those companies, content that wasn't just high quality. I mean, I think there's a lot of writers out there who can produce high quality work, but content that actually got results for the company, that got the higher click-through rates and higher open rates and all the metrics that get tracked, of course.
Yeah. What are some of the major points of differentiation for you versus those companies having somebody in-house do the work?
I think from what I have experienced, in-house copywriters, in-house marketers suffer from the same limitations that I had when I was working in-house at that technology company. They're limited. They're limited by budget. They're limited by time. So many meetings on their calendars. So many projects vying for their attention. So many people needing responses. That being able to focus on doing the deep work necessary to produce really outstanding content is almost impossible. Not to mention, when you're an in-house employee, there are so many responsibilities on your plate. It's not even just the meetings on your calendar. It's all of the things that you have to do for your job. So if you're a copywriter, you're leading teams. You're doing research. You're talking to customers to get that insight that you need for the content. You're planning the content. You're reporting on the metrics of the content that you produce. You're collaborating with other team members. There's so many things that you're responsible for as an in-house employee. Whereas working with somebody like me, this is all I do. I write high-performing content for technology companies. That's what I do. That's what I spend all of my time doing and all of my time improving on and now training other writers to do excellently. And so when they are able to hire me to help with that, I'm just able to operate at a higher level than an in-house employee would be able to.
That makes perfect sense. How does storytelling play into your specialty and what you deliver?
Storytelling is everything. Especially now, especially with generative AI in our everyday world. Storytelling, it's always been a thread running through my life. So like I said, I was always a writer. I'm a novelist. I have romance novels and cozy mysteries out in the world. I've written business books, among other things. I do a lot of speaking now. Storytelling is a big part of speaking and many, many facets of my life. But it wasn't until I went to graduate school and I really started studying storytelling from an academic perspective, really digging into the research and connecting the dots really with storytelling and then generative AI coming up in all of this, where I realized why storytelling was so important in so many facets of my life, why it works so well in the content that I create for these companies. I'm working with technology companies, but I'm thinking in terms of storytelling. what story does the customer need to hear to do, feel, or believe something to take that next step with the company? And that thread, that connection that makes storytelling work in all these different facets is human connection. Storytelling is how we relate human to human. It's been how we've related human to human since the dawn of time. It has never changed. Narrative is actually a form of reasoning. It's how we make sense of the world. It's how we remember things. So storytelling, it just impacts everything that I do and how I think about everything. But it also makes the content that I write for my clients work so much harder for them.
So I realize you specialize in content marketing for a particular kind of tech company. I wanted to ask you what you might be able to share about how storytelling and content marketing could benefit corporate refugees in their business, both for themselves and depending upon what kind of business they're in, perhaps for their clients as well.
Absolutely. My advice, my words of wisdom here are that everybody has a story. You have a story. I have a story. All of your listeners have a story. There's a story behind how they got to where they are, why they decided to become corporate refugees in the first place. Whether they believe it's an important story or not is beside the fact. Their story is important, and that story is what their clients, their audience, wants to hear. When I get on the phone with a lead, with a prospective client, I mean, it's great if I come ready with, I don't know, scope of work maybe, and some ballpark rates, that's all well and good, you know, kind of a list of things that I might be able to help them with. But when their eyes light up, when they sit up and pay attention, when they get quiet and really listen, is when I'm telling them my story. It's how I got here, how I got to think the way I do about the work that we're about to talk about. It's the stories of how I did this for other companies and the results that I was able to get for them. Those stories are what help us connect. Those stories are what make my audience, the leads and, you know, potential clients, connect with me as a human being. And so that's my recommendation for all of your listeners is tell your stories. Tell your stories on your website. Tell your stories in sales calls. Tell your stories on podcasts like this one where we have these great conversations. Stories will get more attention and more engagement than almost anything else you can say.
Yeah. Do you have any advice about do's and don'ts when you're crafting your story, particularly if you have never shared it before?
Well, I mean, of course, it's all going to have to do with the context in which you're sharing your story. If you're, for example, writing your story on your website, say you're writing your about page for your brand new website for your new venture, the story needs to, oddly enough, on your own about page, really center the audience as the hero of the journey. You, as the expert, are the guide on that journey. You're actually not the hero of the story you're telling. So that would be a piece of advice I would give if you were writing an about page, is to center your audience as the hero of the story. Now, if you are in, say, a sales call, you're going to want to listen before you choose your story. You're going to want to listen to the person you're talking to, really suss out what's important to them, what's going on, what problem brought them to talk to you today, and have a list of a couple of stories that may resonate depending on what exactly is going on with them. Choose your story based on what you're hearing. And I see this happening a lot when we talk about storytelling. I feel like the telling piece really throws people off. But storytelling is equal amounts telling and listening. Because storytelling is a co-creative process. And some scholars call it co-constructive, but I like co-creative. Storytelling expert Kendra Hall actually came up with that word, I'm pretty sure, co-creative. So I got to give Kendra Hall a shout out here for that word. Co-creative, co-constructive, what it means is that when we're telling a story, our listener is creating the story in their own mind within the context of their own experience. We're telling the story, they're creating the story. It's a two-way experience, which is why storytelling is such a relational thing. So when you're on the phone with a prospect or a lead or a potential partner, listen before you decide the stories you're going to tell.
That's great advice. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
I wonder if we can go back to your business and kind of where you are. Given that you've now been doing this for multiple years, and congratulations on getting early success, where would you like it to go?
I'm on a really amazing trajectory right now that I want to continue on. And I never saw this coming. I feel like so much of my entrepreneurial journey is a story of, oh, I never saw this coming, but it's working out great. And that is that I've got this amazing team, and I'm hoping to grow that team even more over the next, 1 to 2 years. I have developed a methodology that works really, really well for technology companies. So now I'm able to train others in my methodology. And I'm doing a lot more speaking. I'm doing workshops and training and lecturing, but I'm also doing a lot of from the stage speaking on, storytelling and relational leadership in the age of AI. That's been a big topic lately. And I am really hoping to continue to do more speaking and, get out from behind the computer a bit more and let my team continue to grow and do more of the day-to-day client work. And if you had asked me 10 years ago if I wanted to grow a team, I would have called you crazy because no thank you. I'd been a team lead a few times in the technology world. I had no interest in ever leading a team myself. I was happy just being an independent consultant. But I think when you find the right team and you're far enough into your path to where you can start teaching people what you do and teaching your team what you do and trusting people to follow your lead, yeah, there's something magic that happens when you have a team behind you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Jessica, we haven't talked at all about colleagues or community. I'm wondering who might be good for you as either as a colleague or member of the same community that might also be in a similar situation as an outside service to the kinds of clients you serve. Who is good for you to connect with?
That's a really good question. In terms of partnerships, I often end up partnering quite a bit with other consultants, growth marketers, demand generation consultants, marketers that really specialize in a specific niche of marketing that need excellent copy or content to execute on their strategies. So a lot of my partners end up being marketing consultants. I've partnered with a few designers over the years as well. Designers who, their clients need the copy to go inside the design, and that can work as well. But I really feel like marketing consultants are probably the best connection at this stage in the game.
That's great. And how have you just benefited from community in general as an entrepreneur?
I mean, I have been working from home for the most part. I've leased offices here and there, but working from home behind a computer since 2007. So community is critical for me because I don't get out and do a whole lot in the I was going to say real world, but out from behind the computer screen may be a fairer assessment at this stage. So the community that I've been able to tap into online, I've joined a few mastermind groups, group programs, that kind of thing. I'd say a good half of the communities that I've joined over the last 10 years have ended up being friends in the end, not just collaborative partners and learning partners, but friends where we're in Slack and we're chatting about what's going on in our business or our personal lives and exchanging help and giving each other advice and reviewing copy for each other, that kind of thing. But I think where community really becomes magic, especially for those of us who work primarily online, and I'm getting out there more, like I said, I'm doing a lot more speaking, I'm going to events and speaking in person, but that wasn't the case until really about a year ago. So when I'm participating in these online communities, the support that we give each other is critical, but also there's this natural reciprocity that happens when you're in community. We're not just doing favors for each other to garner favors. We're doing favors for each other because we genuinely like each other and support each other and want to help each other. So if somebody needs a resource or a referral, an introduction, I'm happy to jump in and give that without expecting anything in return. And then inevitably, when I need something and I reach out to the community, they do the same thing for me. It's not that we're keeping tabs. We're not keeping track of who owes what to whom. There's a natural reciprocity that happens when you're in community.
That is part of what community is all about. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica, we've covered a lot of territory about your journey, your business, and your storytelling technique. If someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today or access resources that you have, get in touch with you. Where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, a good jumping off point for all things Jessica is horizonpeakconsulting.com/Jessica. Horizon Peak Consulting is my consulting firm. And that /Jessica page will get you to a great jumping off point to learn more about me as a person, my company, what I'm doing as a speaker. That's where I would direct everybody.
Sounds great. Well, I want to thank you so much, Jessica, for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Share your story, share your insights, and some great advice. My guest has been the CEO of Horizon Peak Consulting, Jessica Mehring. Thank you, Jessica, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.